The question today is, where, when, and how will the lost be judged? Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." We've dealt, of course, before with where the saved will be judged, and that was at the judgment seat of Christ. And we know that as we look at this, when you die, you don't go on to your reward. And if you're not saved, you don't go to a reward period. You'll go into hell, into a jail, county jail, awaiting for the judgment. And it forms the great white throne judgment is what I'm trying to deal with in that sense. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." It's going to be an awesome time there at the great white throne. And that's where the lost will stand. I'll show you that as we tie this together and look at the Scripture and what the Scripture has to say about it. You see, no man can be judged until all get there. At the judgment seat, everybody will have to be at the judgment seat, for the dividends and the interest, if you please, on what they've deposited will have to be finalized and complete, and where they'll all be over with, and they'll be judged to receive the reward. But it's the same in a similar sense, or in an opposite sense, I guess we should say, with the lost. No man can be judged until all get there, because just as there's interest adding to those who do good, there would be a detriment added to those who do bad. Be a multiplying effect and have a snowballing effect, if you please, in their lives. And it'll keep adding up and adding up and adding up, and it'll all come out at the great white throne judgment. So the where is at the great white throne judgment. Now, when is this great white throne judgment? Well, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 5, well, we could put 4 with that, because it says here, "And I saw thrones, and they set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So there's the first. There's a mention of 1,000 years here, where the saints of God will rule and reign with Jesus, and that's called the millennium reign, where he'll set upon his father David's throne. But verse 5 says, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." And this is the first resurrection. Now, the first resurrection is talking about the saints, which occurs, of course, at the rapture. But the rest of the dead, the only ones left dead, are the lost dead. Because if all the saved dead are raised up, then all the lost dead will be left behind. And they'll live not again. And in a sense, that living means they're not, it's not that they're going to have life and breath back in their body. They're still going to be in hell. But it's like a jail waiting for the sentence in the court where the judge says guilty, and then they go like to the state penitentiary, and they're at the great white throne where the judge gavel is going to come down, and they'll be pronounced guilty without any shadow of a doubt by the supreme judge of the universe. And but it says in verse number 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he'll go forth to deceive and gather for the battle of Gog and Magog there." And then, of course, So the 1,000-year time is mentioned from the time of the first resurrection till the next. He says in verse 11, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for it." But verse 12 then of Revelation 20 said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, as we look at that, we can see here that this plainly brings out the how. In other words, not only the when, but it also brings out the how of what's going on. 1,000 years transpire, then they'll stand there before God. And oh, even such awesome time that heaven and earth fled away. What will it be like for sinners to stand before a holy God at that time? And that's the dead, the only lost dead, small and great. That means the pauper and the king that wasn't saved. He's going to stand before God, verse 12 said. The books are going to be open. Now, the Bible teaches us we're judged by this word. These 66 books will be open, and there's the standard we have to go by. Therefore, if we don't match up to the standard God has for us today, we'll not match up there in that day, and it'll be too late. It'll be too late when the Lord comes back, and all that's left behind at the rapture will be categorized, or in other words, will be those that will stand before the great white throne of judgment. And so, and the books were open, but another book was open, which is the book of life. We've dealt with this before and shown you that there'll be a book of life there, which will have a place where their name could have been. Because we dealt with the fact that when you're conceived, your name is put in the book of living, and you're safe till you reach a knowledge of accountability. Then that name is subject to being blotted out of that book. And that answers the scriptures where it warns us about, speaks about name being blotted out. And they're subject to being blotted out, but God in His goodness and forbearance and long sufferings holds back that wrath, giving you a space of repentance time and time again. And He sends the striving spirit that way, and an open door, and a preacher of righteousness so that you might be saved. But yet, if you reject light, wherever you're at, then you'll have no choice but to God to erase without a trace your name out of the book of life when you cross God's deadline. Maybe at death's door, maybe at the rapture, I don't know. But sometime that name will be blotted out, and then there at the great white throne judgment where the lost will stand, you'll see an opportunity that you had. You'll see the light you rejected. Now, you're going to use excuses. Many church members, Baptists included, preachers included, will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and cast out devils in Thy name, done many wonderful works in Thy name? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And here at this great white throne judgment, and that's all going to come out. Every excuse is going to be waylaid, if you please. The book is going to be open. Even the book of remembrance will be there. And you'll be judged for according to your works, not to determine heaven or hell. That's already decided when you rejected life. You decided that. And you made a choice about that. And so, therefore, you'll be judged according to the works, not to determine heaven or hell, but to determine what degree of hell or the lake of fire you'll occupy. It even says that the sea gave up the dead in verse 13. Death and hell gave up the dead. In other words, all hell will be raised up out of that like a county jail. Go before the supreme judge of the universe and hear the gavel come down. Guilty, guilty, guilty. No doubt, and no doubt there will be many there that day that will look over and look to the saints. You say, you mean the saints will be there? Yeah, they'll be there, but not in judgment. How do you know they'll be there? Well, the Bible tells us so over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17, right after it talks about the Lord Himself coming back from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Then it said, the dead in Christ arise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then it says, this little phrase in the last part of verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 4, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In other words, we're going to ever be with Him. And so as a result, the saints will be there because the Lord's going to be there. Now, the saints will not be in judgment, but get the picture. We'll be more or less like a witness that day. But can you imagine what it will be like at that time as this judgment comes? And there'll be some who will look over, and there'll be somebody's girl that maybe grew up and reached the knowledge of accountability and rejected light. And they look over, and Mom will be standing over there on this side with the saints of God after God has said to them, you depart from me. You don't have an excuse. You rejected light and judged out of these books. But that person may look over to that mom and say, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Why didn't you, weren't you more forceful about the things of God? Why didn't you protect me more from the things of the world? Why was it you wanted me to be Miss USA and or Miss America, if you please, or something along that line, some beauty contest. Why was it you spent more in concerning that than you did the things of God? Why, Mom? Well, that mom will definitely break down in bitter tears and cry that day. Now, many of those moms will not be there. They'll be standing with those girls, and we understand right there. But there may be some. I'm just trying to give you an example of how this judgment will be. There'll be some boys that may, after God's pronounced judgment on them, they'll look over and say to their dad, "Why? Why, Dad, didn't you? Was you more concerned about me playing ball in Little League and school and the thing, basketball and baseball, than you was about the things of God? Why didn't you tell me?" As I said, the dads will probably be with them too, standing there at that place at that time. But then, of course, there'll be some church members will say to the preacher, if the preacher's there, and some of them won't be there and witnesses, but they'll say, "Why did you lead me in that little easy believism prayer and give me a false hope? Why didn't you tell me the truth that God could have done something in my heart? Why? And there'll be tears of all those Sunday school teachers and preachers and moms and dads and those there at the great white throne judgment as God takes all of the lost and casts them in the lake of fire. That word cast means to fling with force in the lake of fire. Whoever's name's not written in the book of life, He casts them there. And you can better believe there'll be weeping and crying there at the great white throne judgment by the saints of God. They're not in judgment, but they'll be there as witnesses. How do I know that? Well, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 21, after that he saw a new heaven and a new earth, he said in verse number 4 of chapter 21 of Revelation, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Somebody said, "Oh, if we had to stand before the great white throne judgment and witnesses and see our loved ones cast in the lake of fire, how could we stand it? How could we do that?" Well, Isaiah 65:17 said, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." I can best describe it like this. I had three children, Laurie, Audrey, and Emily. And I'll say this, if Emily had never been born, I'd never known that she existed. And therefore, if you're never born again, after there's a new heaven and a new earth, God will wipe away all tears and you'll forget about all that past and you'll never know that those loved ones ever existed. The Bible tells us plainly, though, at that great white throne, there'll be those that'll bow their knees. Philippians 2 and 10 said, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Oh, at that day they'll bow, but it'd be better for you to bow your knee now and ask God to finish a work in your heart that you might be saved, so you'd escape the great white throne judgment where the lost would be judged. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying, "Good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you," is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.